everybody. We're the Fans Entertainment coverage of Big Brother Canada. We're on en français. We could do a little English, a little French. Welcome to Canada, folks. I'm Sheldon here today with Josh and special guest star DeLucas is here. Welcome, DeLucas.
Thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. DeLucas, yeah, likewise. You love Big Brother Canada. Tell us more.
Okay, so more so than I love Big Brother Canada, my number one reality star in life is the legendary Aika Wong, right? So that's what drew me to Big Brother Canada. And throughout the years, it's been a struggle to try to watch it every single season, but I always find my way. And I just feel compared to the US version, BB Can gets real people. You know, they cast real people that you can relate to and not the models and not, you know, the people that don't understand the game. So that's just always been my draw. And I've been a fan since season two. I've watched multiple seasons, multiple times, and I'm excited to actually have a platform to talk about it.
Welcome. We love having you here since you are a super fan just like us. So for today, we're going to be recapping the last two episodes. A lot has happened. We had a nomination, a veto, a renom, a vote out, and an HOH. There's been a lot that's happened, and maybe we'll even see what's happened since then. But we really have to get started. I can't not talk about this because it's so important. I need to say something about Jay's outfits. Every outfit is something new, something special. What the aliens on his nipples, shirts with holes. Where does this come from? Can somebody explain this to me? Because I don't get it.
I'm trying to ask myself the same question too. Like, even when I was just watching, like in the last episode, like before, like we even got on here, I was looking at Jay's outfit and I was just thinking, like, what the hell is this? Like it gives me like a little bit of like hooker vibes or something like that, or it was just like a little bit more of like a mixed bag of everything else, or kind of like a emo kind of effect. I do not know what that is. That is just confusion. But that's Jay has some interesting fashion choices. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, they definitely came to slay, throwing down the looks every single season. I wish I had the confidence to wear those things, but I don't. So I'm appreciating watching somebody else live their best life and live their truth. I think we need more representation on television where who gives a fuck what I'm wearing? It's about my character on the inside. And I do have a couple of friends that remind me of Jay. So I'm definitely a Jay stan for sure.
Yeah, I've even, like, I know, like, a few friends that are like Jay in real life, and I will say that, like, even when Kevin was on here at one point when, like, we were talking about Moose's outfit, he said that, like, you know, like, you go based off of the vibes and not based on the wardrobe, right? Well, now after, like, looking at Jay's outfit, I'm now starting to be like, okay, you know what? Maybe it's the vibes, maybe it's the outfit. At this point, I'm not going to judge on people's outfits anymore after I have saw that. But
so here we are, beginning of this first episode on the Wednesday, and on the block we have Jay, and sitting beside Jay is JL. Good move or bad move? What happened?
I think it's okay. The noms were decent. I think the target was wrong. Let me explain. So Jay and JC Lynn going up on the block, right idea. The target should have been JC Lynn. Here's why I'm saying it. JC Lynn is actually sitting in a pretty middle position that no one's really looking at JC Lynn. She has Steph, she has Gino, she has an in with the boys. So basically, JC Lynn, she's not going to be nominated for a while if each of the guys keep winning HOH. So she's going to be in such a good position that no one's going to be seeing it. With Jay, on the other hand, Jay being put up on the block, okay, good call. I think targeting Jay should have been a later move and not move for week two. Reason being is that, like, yes, Jay is probably one of the social butterflies, but I think as long as Jay stays in the house, their target on their back is going to get bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. But you got to look at the people that are mostly interconnected with everybody compared to one person who is just interconnected with one side of the house, if that makes sense.
Agreed, agreed. If I'm in Marty's position, I'm going for people that don't have connections because nobody's going to be sad to see them go, right? So putting up Jay and maybe ostracizing Josh, let's say, is cutting off a connection that maybe they can work on later on in the game. So I'm probably going for, you know, people that don't have those connections that nobody's going to be sad to see go. And you always got to put up two people, especially in the beginning game, that you're not – you don't care either way. Like, and to claim a target right off the bat, not a good look. You put two people up, let them fight it out. Even though you do have a target, maybe publicly you're not stating that because that could backfire.
Right. And like, even the fact that, like, you know, let's go back into the past episode where, or the past two episodes when we're going back to the HOH comp with Marty and Steph as the last two. Marty keeps saying to Steph, hey, listen, I got you. We're good. Please let me have it. Steph decided to stay on for a while. I would have put up Jason Lynn and Steph after they stepped in and honored through with the deal. But even though Marty is a man of his word to say, hey, listen, I'll follow through with the deal, but I'm not quite sure where I fit in with you. That sets up alarms for Steph because then it's like, uh-oh, had I like not go in with the deal, he could have put me up. So that could potentially, if Steph wins HOH, she could target Marty later on. That would not be good.
Right.
So, but like, even if he doesn't put up Steph now, Steph should have been the renom instead of the person that we're going to talk about later on. But yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
I don't know. I kind of agree with my French Italian best friend, De Luca, because here's the thing. I don't think Marty needed to come out and say, I'm going to fight, I'm going to put out my targets, and I'm going to try to get you. Because all Marty is saying is that he's a player, he wins competitions, he's putting this huge target on his back. I would put two people on the block that, as Luca said, nobody would give a crap about. And I think one of those people would have been Kevin. Mm-hmm. One of those people would have been Jess, maybe even a Betty. So I would have used this opportunity to not put any blood on my hands at all, and in fact, use it as a way to create some solid relationships with people. However, that's not what Marty wanted. If Marty really wanted it, he didn't have to actually win this challenge at all. He could have stepped off, like I assume a lot of people did, like Kyle, in that HOH competition. I think he kind of came there saying, yeah, I'm not just this old guy. I got something to prove. I'm going to fucking come here and do something well. Oop, I swore I'm not allowed to do that. But I'm going to come here and figure out how to show people that I'm more than just this fun daddy from New Brunswick.
Hey, Sheldon, watch your mouth.
I need to watch my mouth. Uh-oh. So these two people are on the block, and then we go to our Big Brother Canada obligatory Kevin segment, where Kevin says, oh, I'm just playing vanilla, and I'm not a big hugger. I don't want to give JC Lynn a hug. What the heck is going on with Kevin?
Okay, here's my thing. That was weird, because it's just like Kevin is trying to make it too obvious that, like, you know, oh, I'm a dead man walking. Nobody wants to talk to me. People are catching on to it. Mm-hmm. And even on the live feeds, T and Summer figured out what you were doing. So you might as well drop the act, because it's not helping your game. It's not helping anyone else's game. So the fact that you're still pulling up this facade, no one's really going to trust you. Right. That's just the way I see it.
Yeah. I mean, I get the play, but you got to read the room, right? So if you're putting this out there and it's not getting received well, and maybe some people fall for it and some people don't, you got to switch it up. Like, and people are going to want to eventually be around people that they enjoy, right? You don't want to keep the Debbie Downer that's going to be walking around moping all the time, because at the end of the day, yes, it's a game, but it's also an experience, and you want to experience it with people that are excited to be there. And yes, you're coming off the block, so I get it. You're a little depressed. You're a little sad. Play that up for a day or two, but then let it go, because that's just going to make people not want to be around you. I don't want to go talk to the guy that's crying in the corner. I want to go hang out with the fun people in the other room that are laughing and having a good time. So I get the play. It didn't work as well as I think he wanted it to. So drop it. I do like Kevin. I think he's got a very strategic mind, and I'm excited to see what comes from him, but I don't want to see Debbie Downer walking, moping around the house for sure.
Yeah. And one more thing I want to point out that, like, I don't think they really showed this in the edit, but JC Lynn was also crying when she got put up on the block. And she was crying for almost 2-3 days straight. And I'm like, why did they not show this?
Yeah.
And especially the fact that, like, it kind of, like, also put me, like, from a new perspective of JC Lynn, is, like, she can't handle the pressure of being on the block.
Right.
So it makes me wonder, is JC Lynn, like, not really, like, mentally prepared for that to happen? Or maybe, like, she was just more so left in the dark of what Marty said.
Yeah.
I don't know which is which. But I do know for a fact that, like, if Jason Lynn hits the block again, they could use that to their advantage and potentially just make her more, like, emotionally draining, like, if they want to put that as, like, a strategy. Like, you don't want to show your weakness if you're ever on the block.
Yeah.
Well, so I've got a rule in life, and it's really simple. If you're not going to be your authentic self, people will see through it every single time.
Agree.
I think it's so important in any of these games that, you know what, if you might be a little bit type A, you might want to tone it down a little bit so that the full you isn't always on display. But it feels as though Kevin has taken it to a whole new level where he's not an actor. He's some kind of engineer, sales engineer, whatever the heck that even means. But you can't be a completely different person because people won't buy it, which is why within a week, just over a week, of course Summer and Denise are going to catch up on it. Of course Marty's going to go to Kevin and say, you're smarter than you're leading on. Everybody's telling Kevin that because you can't not be yourself. It's impossible to live in a house 24 hours with people and be a whole other different person. It doesn't make sense. So although, like, I understand in theory the strategy, be the sad, mopey person, I'm not a threat, and then I'll turn it on halfway through the game, great. It's not going to work. It's never going to work. Because who the hell wants to be with sad, mopey, inauthentic individuals? They want to be with somebody that makes them feel good inside. That's actually going to help them. A mopey person can't help you get farther.
Right. It's more like the timing that is about, like, okay, Kevin just got put off the block. Like, and I agree with the Lucas, is that, like, you could be sad for, like, a little bit for, like, a couple of days when you're off the block. But when JC Lynn and Jay got put up on the block, and Kevin is still sad.
Right.
What are you doing here?
Exactly.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
Yeah. It's almost like Kevin and JC need a little bit of what each other has. Because you're right. You know, listen, I'm sure if any one of us were in that situation and we're put on the block, we're not going to be happy. And emotions are going to come out because that is authentic, right?
No, but I agree.
Let it fuel you. Let it fuel you to do better and to make you put more of an effort. You're not going to go in the room and cry because then you're cutting yourself off from everybody else. You need to be down there making those relationships, especially week two. One thing I will say about Canada so far, I was very disappointed with the first few episodes because I felt like there wasn't a lot of character development. The first premiere episode should have been 2 hours, hands down. But I feel like this last episode, now we're starting to see who people are and what they're seeing in the house, right? So you're building these connections, and when you're crying and you're moping, you're missing out on the experience, and you're missing out on the opportunity to really make long lasting, because this is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. You're not playing for week two. You're playing for how do I get to the end? You know what I mean? And for me, if I'm in there and emotions come to light, but I'm questioning, are you rational? Because if you're crying and you're in this headspace because you're on the block, are you rational enough to think clearly down the road when it's going to be a pivotal point in the game and we're going to have to cut somebody that maybe we're working with? Are you going to be emotional over that? So emotions, hold them together. And that might not be authentic, but it's necessary, I think.
So, DeLucas, like, you actually brought up a very good point. It's just like, even though I looked back at the past few episodes, I figured something was lacking. I just didn't know how to pitch it. You pointing out that there's lack of character development, I 100% see it. It was just mostly focused on, like, that house gets going right into the house. They go right into it on the block. They're more focused on, like, the phone twist or, like, whoever went HOH. Mainly the episode was focused on Herman, Jess, and maybe Melina. We didn't know the rest of the people.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's when I was like, okay, the first few episodes, yeah, they could have easily spun it around and have, like, maybe the ship extended to 2 hours. Fair. Maybe for the pilot episode, sure, let's go at it that way. But we also got to think about that at that time, the live feeds weren't really out there, so we don't know exactly what would have came out. So I'm guessing they were trying to hold that back a little bit. But I do think that now with the new upcoming episodes, we're slowly starting to see each of their character roles inside the house, which is a pretty good depiction of what we're getting of right now. And BB Can is mostly off most of the times, but this one kind of feels like they're on the ball this time.
Yeah.
Well, talking of character development, we have to talk Summer, because I've never seen a person like Summer in any Big Brother Canada, let alone Big Brother. She's the life of the party. She's your best friend. The girl who in her intro video said, I'm petty and I'm going to be evil and I'm going to be, I don't know, party girls in the house. And she's actually doing what Kevin's not doing. Mm-hmm. She's actually going ahead and trying to make these deep relationships. We see this amazing scene where she takes some four ladies into that mirror room and she teaches them about how to do affirmations. And one by one, they all say, yep, I'm doing this too. I'm buying in. Let's do affirmations. And you see that depth of relationship she's creating. She's not just fun Summer, I'm here to have a party. She is building these relationships that are going to be there in week 2, week 4, week 12.
I think Summer is low-key a strategist with this. Mm-hmm. Here's why. Okay, call me crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think Summer is building those deep connections for strategy. Because, one, she's in the Savage 7 Alliance. She also has some extra connections with the girls. And she has some extra connections with extra people outside the alliance. And she's aware that she needs to let others take a shot at the 7. So this perfectly sets up Summer in the complete middle of everything. And nobody would see it coming. I have been really impressed with Summer on how she is playing up to this point. And I think she could win. And she's my pick. So I'm all in for that.
Yeah. And we talked about the word authentic. I think, yes, as much as it is strategy, that's authentically her. Like, she's like that on the outside. She knows how to tap into people's emotions in a good way, right? Like the whole scene with her and Tanisha talking about her daughter. She knows that's going to play on her heartstrings, right? But she really probably a part of her cares about, you know, that conversation that she had. But she's finding out what makes people, you know, tick, or in a good way, or makes them feel comfortable with her. And she's working with that to get Kevin to dance. You know what I mean? Kevin's not a dancer, but he felt compelled to feel her spirit and dance. And that's great for now. What are we looking at 6 weeks from now when Summer is emerging as a huge target? So as much as she's doing really well, I do want her to tone it back a little bit and be maybe that way behind closed doors, not so much in the open, maybe more of a one-on-one situation, not sitting on the couch where everyone can see, because I'm sitting over there like, look at Tanisha and Summer having this really in-depth conversation. And now my ticker's going off that Summer's going to be a threat later on in the game.
Here's what's interesting though. Like, I think the only time Summer's name is mentioned is when she's associated with Tanisha.
Right.
That's the only time I heard her name on the episodes, on the live feeds. She's sitting in like in probably the best position in the house next to Gina. So
Summer is, or Tanisha is?
Summer.
Can Tanisha, I argue? Let me argue something different.
Yes.
I think Tanisha, my winner pick, is sitting in the best seat right now.
Yeah.
Because between her and Summer, who are they going to get out first?
Summer.
The scary Summer one. And Tanisha's going to be there for that win.
Yeah.
So I honestly think that Summer's maybe playing strategically. I think Tanisha's really playing strategically too.
Yeah.
But Tanisha is that non-threat. The one, there's always going to be Summer around her to get rid of first. So I think Tanisha is sitting a little bit more comfortably than Summer right now.
I 100% agree with you. Marty even took her for Wendy's, right? So she's got connections in a lot of different places, but she knows that I'm going to let these other people kind of take that reign. Let Summer be Summer in front of me, because yes, if I'm up on the block, we are being considered a duo, but if I'm up on the block, it's easy to make a case against Summer because she is the bigger threat, right? So I really agree with you. I'd see winner vibes in Tanisha for sure, for sure.
Sam telling us that Tanisha is making bonds with Marty through speaking French. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about this last episode. French has become so important as a means to bind these individuals together, as a means of shared identity, shared life. And what's always amazing to me as a Canadian is watching people from Quebec and other places in this country speaking Fringlish. They have this half the conversation is in English, half the conversation is in French. Nobody else gets what the heck they're doing, but it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like part of the advantage of like speaking in another language is that like you can literally talk strategy. What really like you could just like make it seem like you're discussing about something else, and then the rest of people will just go like about their day. It's a huge advantage learning another language, and that's why like if you're living in Quebec or if you live around Montreal or the Ottawa area, learning French is very, very key. Sam is also saying that summer is a smarter version of Victoria for beating Can 9. Interesting observation.
I don't know yet.
I don't know yet. The reason why is that like Victoria, she was actually more visibly trying to make the moves. I think Summer is just laying back and trying to build off these connections, which is the right way to start off. And if Summer wants to make a move, she could jump on the HOH and then take a shot at one of the big players.
Yeah. I just want to say something about the French, the language. Yeah. You know, I know everybody's fawning over Gino, but I guess I have daddy issues when Marty speaks French. I don't know. He speaks to me in a daddy way where like I want to role play real quick. I'm giving the vibe off from Marty, but something about him when he speaks French, I don't know, but you know. I got daddy issues.
Lucas, the daddy wannabe. So it looks like we have this interesting duo with Summer and Tanisha. And then we get a whole new view into another duo of Jay and Josh. These two people, indigenous, queer, black, shared identities, people that I've never seen in my life before on TV with those shared identities, really creating this deep relationship with one another.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about it is that like Jay and Josh are so similar. I think the casting team at BB Can did this on purpose. Reason being is that like when you go into the Big Brother house, they're looking for people that you feel you can absolutely relate to, and you're looking for people that you despise. So they're looking at every single player being like, okay, how can we get these people to interact? Are they going to be very similar? Are they going to be very different? How are they going to tell their stories in their way from their perspectives? What I really like about this is that like the Jay Josh dynamic is probably one of the most genuine, authentic relationships you can see inside of all the players here. The rest of the connections just kind of felt forced in my opinion, but Jay's and Josh's, it seemed naturally organic to me. And I genuinely hope that Josh and Jay can actually pull themselves out of this situation. Obviously later on, we'll see if they survive the block, but like if Jay were to survive the block that round, then you know those two could be a dangerous duo in the house. Otherwise, that honor goes straight to Gino and Marty, or Gino and JC, or Summer and Tanisha. It's one or the other.
What I think is really interesting is usually there's a duo that everybody can pinpoint. To me, this seems like a season of duos. There's tons of them. You got Tanisha and Summer. You got Helena and Betty. You got JC and Stephanie. You got, who am I missing? Josh and Jay. You got Jess and maybe Kevin, right? And then you got a trio. You got a Marty, a Gino, and a Kyle. So there's a lot of different dynamics that it's not so like, okay, these are the duo that we're going to put up because they're obvious. So it's going to be interesting to see what makes people targets and who, what is valuable to you and what is not, and what is threatening to you and what is not. So I think it's going to be a really, really interesting season as we play it out.
DeLucas, I think you pointed out something that really just sparked something in my head. You named off every single player, but you forgot to mention one person. Moose
and Herman. I didn't mention either. I didn't mention
and Jess and Helena.
And Jess, Helena, I think
is with Betty. I think her and Betty have like some kind of thing going on.
Kind of, yeah. But like, I don't want to steer too much onto the life because I can say that for Tuesday. But I want to point out the fact that like Helena and Kevin have a final two.
Really?
Not quite sure if that is. Yeah, not sure if that is going to be highlighted in a future episode, but. But Helena is like full front saying Kevin is her final two.
Surprised by that, for sure.
Yeah.
A shocker to me.
So from duos to five people on the veto. We finally see how they pick the people for the veto. They go in that beautiful table that looks like the Wheel of Fortune, this wheel, and they circle in and they circle in, and up playing veto are JL, Jay, Helena, Josh, and Betty. All these people who seem to might want to take Jay off the block.
Jay got
so... I would be shitting my pants if I was JC Lynn. Mm-hmm.
Jay literally got the luckiest batch of people to play in the veto for them. Like, if anyone like were to, like, if JC Lynn got house guest choice, Gino's 100% getting it and Gino's going to win. Like, it literally works out so well. Sam says that Helena reminds me of Paris.
I disagree.
We'll talk about that in a second. But like, the way that I see it is that if Jay, like, even if Jay doesn't win, whoever isn't JC Lynn is going to use the veto to take Jay off the block. Yeah. So Jay honestly won the freaking lottery out of all the BB Can picks for veto that I've ever seen. So.
Yeah. One thing I hate, and I have little to no complaints with Big Brother Canada. I do not like the HOH not being able to play in the veto. I don't. I know it's a hot take, but I feel like it's too much of trying to twist a game that's already twisted, right? Allow the HOH the chance to lock in what their goals are. The HOH wins a competition. They shouldn't be at a disadvantage or they won that right to be the head of household, and they should continue to try to control their fate and make what they want happen. So that's my one disagreement with Big Brother Canada, but it definitely makes good TV, right? Because we want to see switch ups. We want to see people in bad spots, but I'm thinking of myself as a player. I'm pissed. I want to keep what I want to happen and get less blood on my hands, but you're right. Perfect picks for Jay. All signs point to him getting off the block, but we can continue on with where that's going
to
go.
And then we get to one of the weirdest scenes in Big Brother history.
Oh, boy.
Are you ready for toilet time, folks?
Oh, gee, yes. I love the toilet.
What
was that? BB
Can. Barney Herman in the HOH room bathroom having a conversation. Mm-hmm. Guess who's relieving themselves in the toilet and wants to join the conversation by opening the door? There's Gino having his time, but we have to watch him? What, Gino? Why?
Yeah. Okay, they could have just like told the people like, hey, can we redo that scene again, but have Gino like be in the conversation without be on the toilet. I mean, I guess like they kind of don't want to make it look staged, but they could have just at least maybe say like hold off this conversation, or at least like until Gino comes in, like, you know, like, yeah. I don't like seeing someone sitting on the toilet while they're talking strategy. I mean, like, I get they want to be part of the conversation. That's fair. But
when,
for me,
when do you want to see a person sitting on the toilet? When they're not taking strategy? Like, when is the right time, Josh?
When you need to go do your business. I just don't want to see it on my screen.
So here's my thought about it. I hated watching it. I hate thinking about it. But it says a lot about the relationship Gino has built with Marty and Herman.
Yeah.
Because if you are able to go to the bathroom and strategize and watch me, like, what? You must be close enough to feel comfortable. I would never feel close enough. But it says something about the relationship they've built. I don't know what it says, really. It may be a little creepy. But it says something, because I don't know most people that feel comfortable doing that. If they've known each other, they're married to the person.
Right. True. Right. Yeah. I totally get that. Like, and what was the purpose of the fans needing to know that Gino was even in on the conversation? He didn't input much. So there's 12 other cameras in that bathroom.
I agree.
We could have just seen Marty and Herman talking. And then we need to know that Gino's there. And then on top of that, the door is not like soundproof. You could still hear what's going on through the door. Right. Yeah. So I don't know. Especially seeing someone so hot in that kind of situation, it kind of took him from here to here for me. So,
yeah. Like, it's kind of like, you know, when you see like a different shot with all the people right in there, like, right. Literally that's how the shot looked. I'm standing right over here and then he just pops in like, hey, I'm like, why did we need to see that? Like, come on.
Yeah. Maybe if he was talking or like giving good input, then yes, keep it in the storyline if it's influential to what we need to know. But he literally said nothing and just listened. We don't need to know he's there. Who cares?
Yeah, they could have just cut that scene out and literally just rehashed it, or they could have edited it to make it look like he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, we know that he was going to be part of the conversation anyway, so why do we need to know that?
Okay, most important question to Lucas. Daddy Marty, if he's on the toilet, are you over him?
Yes, absolutely. Anybody on the toilet. The love of my life on the toilet. No, I don't need to see that. That's private time. That's private time. There's never a reason for anyone to see anyone on a toilet.
Okay, well, from private toilet time to bakery time, where the veto players had to come together and individually put together this big stack of cakes, layer after layer after layer after layer of cakes. In the middle of all these layers, you have to build a puzzle, make sure every single wooden frame, every single wooden piece is actually level with one another. You saw Jay get so far, and then it dropped. And you could see their heart break. You could see and they almost gave up. And then JC Lynn, after having it all break a few times, keeps on going. She keeps on persevering, and JC Lynn wins the power of veto with all the bling.
Wow. Like, here's my thing. Jay had one job, or more, any of the people that was working with Jay had one job. And they couldn't even win the veto. The last person that you want to win the veto, if you're aligned with Jay, wins veto, that means, Jay is toast. Because Marty is dead set on taking Jay out. So, therefore, now that Jason Lynn comes off the block, that leaves the number two question. Who is Marty going to put up as the replacement? Kevin? Jess? Maybe Stefan go against the deal? Who knows at this rate? But I want to talk about the veto competition for like a quick second.
Yeah.
The competition looked hard. Mm-hmm. And especially like when you had the cake layer all around it and then you have the sticks trying to hold it up. I thought they were going to do like, hey, let's do three layers and keep it easy. They did five layers.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's a little extreme, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I loved it. I think it took a precise skill, right? But it also, to me, and the reason why you say like the other people didn't, this is like a competition where you got to focus in, man. And the only way you're focusing in that hard is if your ass is on the line. That's why we only saw JC and we only saw Jay do somewhat well, because they were essentially the people that life was on the line. If you don't have that zoned in, like I'm tuning everything else out, this is the only thing in the world that matters right now, and I have that sense of focus, you're not going to do well in that competition, because one little shake and you're done. So I give her kudos. She killed it. I felt bad because I did, you know, want Jay to win and take themselves off the block. But you got to give it to the girl. She crushed it. She also showed a little bit of her cards, but she had to at that point. Her back's up against the wall. And now JC, as you know, even if she was put up as a pawn, now she's just climbed up the ladder of people I got to watch for, you know, and we'll see how that plays out for her.
I kind of disagree on the fact that, like, this kind of increases JC Lynn's target on her back. This kind of assures her that, like, hey, if JC Lynn gets put up on the block, she's winning veto. Which means if I were Marty, I'd be like, oh, well, JC Lynn can easily take herself off the block if she, like, goes up first.
Right.
Well, if I want to use someone as a backup plan, I put up JC Lynn and be like, hey, listen, go in there just to win veto, take yourself off, and then my real target goes up. Mm-hmm. So this is a good learning stuff for the rest of the house guests, because it's like, oh, if Jason Lynn goes up on the block again, she can win veto.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that point, but I will rebut it a little bit. Like, there's been a consensus of a bunch of people who have done consistently well and a bunch of people who haven't, right? So the bunch of people who haven't are going to have to eliminate people who have in order for them to even have a chance. So if JC finds her way on the block, and by the off chance she doesn't win the veto, she's a good reason to send her out the door, because like we talked in the beginning about, you said her being emotional and she cried for 3 days. Well, this kind of just wiped that all out, because she's able to zone in, keep her focus, keep her eye on the prize, and come through in a high pressured situation, which to me makes her more threatening.
Which at the same time, like, I wish they did show the parts that she was crying, because this would have been a good character development for JC Lynn, because it's like she went through like an emotional roller coaster. That'd be perfect, but they didn't do that. I'm like, missed opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm not watching the live feed, so I'm only speaking from the episode perspectives.
No,
so.
Like I get that. Like I'm only speaking live feeds mostly on the Tuesday parts. I'm only talking about the main portions if it's kind of needed in comparison.
Yeah, no, I like it. It gives me insight to what else is going on. But I just don't have the time.
I think JC Lynn showed her cards, and truth be told, I think that this competition was built for an athlete. It's built for somebody like JC Lynn, who figure skated for years, who knew how to dig in and fight her rear end off, and never stop until she wins. Whereas you didn't see that with Jay. Jace looked like they were giving up a little bit when they really, lost it. And I think this was built for Jay. On another note, I have been loving the sets.
Yeah,
for all of the competitions this season, they are beautiful. The colors, like we've never seen a competition like this before in BB Can. I don't remember anything like this. This was awesome.
The interesting thing is that like this season is like the season's theme is basically money, color, very bright, very very
game show.
Yeah,
very game show.
Right, very Price is Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact of the matter is that I'm not surprised that the competitions look absolutely like wow, and very creative and very very unique kind of competitions. We haven't really seen much of BB Can. Most of the times I just see them like, oh yeah, they just set the design and they kind of throw in a few wood pieces. They literally go all out with this comp. I was impressed. I liked it.
The set design and house design is always bar none for Canada. I love it every season. I love what they do with it. I love the layout of the house. I love that there's little nooks and crannies everywhere. It just, in my opinion, blows BBUSA out of the water. And I always excited to see what they do. This would have been my favorite season. I love game shows. I love like retro, Price is Right and old school stuff. So this would have been the season that I would have really wanted to.
Well, you got to apply to Lucas. And
I got to move to Canada or marry a Canadian, right?
Okay. Well, there's a lot of Canadians available.
Marty, call me.
He's married. Don't be a homewrecker.
No. Yeah. What she don't know don't hurt her, right? Okay.
So, obviously, JL wins. JC Lynn wins the power of veto. She's going to use it on herself and not Marcellus? Not pull a Marcellus. And so the strategizing begins, and we see Marty in a room with Kyle saying, oh, maybe we should put up stuff. Maybe, maybe I'll break my word. Maybe it's time. And there is Kyle saying, hold on, let's not do that. Let's do Benny.
Okay. Putting up Benny was a positive and a negative for Marty. Reason being is that, yes, it guarantees Jay to go home. However, that was not Marty's move. That is more Kyle's move, because it was clear that Kyle saw a threat in Betty, wasn't she, like didn't find her very trusting, and put her up on the block is more so Kyle's move than Marty's move. And that's already a resume move for Kyle for that. So I wouldn't have put a Betty up. I probably would have done a Steph or a Kevin or a Jess, just to like keep everybody appeased with the house. Since especially Steph's name was still tossed around. So I'm iffy on the Betty one. I'm not quite sure if that was the right idea.
Yeah. Kyle, man of many words, comes in, drops three lines, and whatever he says happens in existence. Great game move, right? Great. We got to give him credit.
I agree with that.
But let's talk about it rationally. Like, where is the moral compass, Marty? Okay, so you've told Betty multiple times, you're good, put your feet up, and you break your word there. But you're not willing to break your word against Stephanie, somebody who you still have questions. Not only have you questioned, you've questioned publicly and told people. So who's to say all those people you've told that I would put Stephanie up, but I made a deal. I would put Stephanie up, but I made a deal. That Stephanie wins next week, they're going to run to her with that. You were this close to going up. And if you think she's going to honor that, knowing that you had her name in your mouth, even
absolutely after the deal, not.
Come on. So stupid move on Marty's part. I get the logic behind it and wanting Jay to go. I get that. But you've already thrown Stephanie's name out there so much. Why make another person upset with you that you've already kind of promised safety to? So wrong. So,
you all are saying to put up Stephanie?
I think he should have, yeah. Because he's already put it out there that he is considering it.
But then there might be a likelihood that Stephanie goes home.
And?
True.
And target, the one person he went the entire week, boldly, loudly, he said, I'm for you, Jay. I'm going to get you. How could he do that to himself and not actually get his target out?
Here's the thing, though.
Fair point.
No. Like, let me put something out real quick. Marty could say that, listen, I want Jay out. Put Steph out saying, listen, my target is Jay. The rest of the house can go behind his back, know about it, and Steph can, like, so then if Stephanie were to go out that door, Marty could be like, oh, I was completely out of the loop on that. I didn't realize that this was going to flop on my HOH. And that way Marty will still be okay. And then he can replenish his relationship with Jay and then proceed on from there. Because Jay at that time established Marty wasn't their target. But I think what really sold it, which I think might have been a little too much spoilers on it, but the damage was already done for Jay. There was no way for them to crawl back up at that moment. If Jay didn't blow up the fact that they were after the guys, then Jay could have survived and put up Steph, and Steph would have went. But I think the damage was already done.
Sheldon, I totally see your point, but this is why Marty's game is flawed, because he's playing a week 6 game in week 2, week 7 game in week 2. Had he put up Jay and JC and not claimed a target, right? Not said, you're my target. Putting up Stephanie later on could have been the plan the whole time, right? I asked her to drop multiple times in the HOH and she didn't. You know, maybe you wait 10 minutes, but after that, to try to like look not suspicious, but after that, you don't want to give me this HOH. So the deal in my mind is null and void at that point.
I agree.
Had Marty not have claimed in public that Jay is the target, he could have backtracked and he could have, you know, went to Jay and say, listen, this was not the, you know, I put you up because maybe we haven't connected, but this is our opportunity to now open the communication. And then this way, if Stephanie does go home, it looks like it was set up that whole way. But that was the flaw in Marty's game, claiming the target publicly before a veto, before anything. 101, you don't do that. You don't do that. Big Brother 101. Yeah.
So JC Lynn about to take herself off the block, but before we actually get who Marty chooses, Sam's wondering, what are JC's chances of going far? We saw her play for 2 weeks. We saw her get on the block. We saw her take herself off the block. Is she here for the long run?
Well, now that she's shacking up with Gino, because I did see that spoiler. I did see that. It's official.
They're officially the show, man.
It might, and Gino is very well liked. Gino is in a really, really good spot for someone of that stature and being the fittest guy in the house, which normally is a target. He's got that demeanor and that sweetness about him that really is a great juxtaposition. Now she's linked with him. It could be good, or it could be great, or it could be really bad. So I don't know. The jury's still out on JC for me right now.
I think with JC, I could see her lasting maybe 2 or 3 weeks more than right now. But I don't think either she's going to be first member of jury or she's going to be out before, like right before jury starts. Reason being is because I think the more public notice of JC gets closer with Gino, the more they want to weaken Gino by cutting off JC Lynn. So
who has the balls at this point to do that? Everybody's up Gino's, you know, everybody wants to work with Gino at this point. So who's going to ostracize him and cut off, you know, his girl? I don't know if anybody's going to do that.
I will say
that's fair.
I will say that a JC Lynn and Gino showmance only helps Kyle, because that a feeling of having Gino and Kyle as this duo, maybe even Marty as this trio, the second you put JC Lynn in the mix, you you think, oh, well, they're making out, they're doing whatever. You know, she's very loyal to him. And, you know, that means let's not think about Kyle. Let's not think about Marty for a while. Yeah. So I actually think that there might be some benefit to some other people in this house by seeing this real showmance together.
Sheldon, I agree with that here. Like, I think this showmance only helps Kyle because then you got a showmance as a shield for Kyle's game.
Yeah.
Because not only do you have, like, the Marty, Gino, Kyle alliance, but you also got Herman and Moose in the mix. But the fact that, like, you got, like, those three having so many loose connections with everybody else that they're probably sitting in the best positions in the house next to Summer and Tanisha that nobody would want to go for them unless you weakened down their numbers. So unless you want to so if Kyle was smart, I would protect Gino, Marty, and JC Lynn as much as possible.
Right. This game is also about being adaptable, right? So, like, how much does JC hold against Marty putting her game at risk? Because we do know that Gino and Marty are really close. So is Gino the bridge to that gap? And now we see a Kyle, Gino, Marty, Stephanie, JC taking over the house, because that's really a strong fivesome right there, right? So it really depends on how well, you know, you can overcome what, you know, because Marty put her game at risk. Let's be real. You never want to be on the block. You have a risk of going home. It's a 50-50 shot. You never are concerned. You know, you're never a lock as much as someone says you're a pawn. But if JC's smart and now she's working with Gino and Gino can bring these strong guys on, maybe she needs to see past what happened. And that fivesome can really do some major damage for a long-term game. So I don't know if JC goes in 3 weeks. I don't. I guess we'll see.
Okay.
So we see, obviously, JC Lynn. I call her JL. I hope this picks up one of these days. Probably not. JL takes herself off the block. Marty puts up Betty. And as we start our next episode, we see Marty say, Betty, you're basically up because, hey, I need Jay to go. And we finally get to know a little bit more about who Betty is. We see some emotions. We see some tears. We see some anger against Kevin. Drama, here we are again. What do y'all think?
Okay, so I saw the live feeds version of this. And I will say that, like, this was completely out of the blue. It didn't even tie into the original story. I think Betty was just having a moment of, like, snapping off at Kevin on the fact that, like, hey, you know, I'm on the block, Kevin, I think Betty was, like, kind of catching on to Kevin, so I think her emotions got the better of her. But it also kind of concerns me because it's like the more outbursts Betty has, the more Betty becomes a target. And then eventually, she could be the next one to go if she keeps this up. Or she might go before Jay in that circumstance, right? Yeah. So I don't think popping off at Kevin was a smart idea, especially when you're on the block.
Yeah, for sure. I agree there. I will say this. Like, we are watching as viewers. So I always try to put myself in the house. How am I feeling? And perception is reality. I know it's a cliche to say that, but the fact of the matter is that Kevin was up in that HOH the night before and suddenly the target changed. So if I'm Betty, of course, that's how I'm going to think about it and how I'm going to feel. I'm going to think that Kevin had something to do with it. Now, was her instincts wrong? Is she wrong about what she said about Kevin?
Not entirely.
Was Kevin the one that pinpointed her and put the target on her? No, but she called him out in ways that is really true. Her intuition and her judge of character is pretty much on that point. And I loved it. I loved it for drama, but you're right. You don't start cutting off votes when you don't know where you're going. You know what I mean? Maybe I get off the block and then I call your ass out. But
vote. And again, who is helped by all of this? Kyle.
I can't.
Kyle.
Okay. Are you guys Kyle fans? Is that what you guys are right now?
Because I'm not. Kyle is my – okay, so before we start the whole okay, listen. Before we started the whole BB Can episodes thing for the podcast, right, we did, like, draft picks. Mm-hmm. I picked Kyle as my pick to win. And this proves why Kyle is really good at the game. Because all Kyle said were three words. Four words. I want Betty out. I know. Putting Betty on the block when all it took was one simple transition when Marty went up to Kevin and then discussed that through. Then next thing you know, the blame is now on Kevin because now Betty believes Kevin convinced Marty to put her up.
Now, a lot of this could just be coincidence.
And that's the thing, yeah.
It's a little bit, I don't think this was all, Kyle's idea. And now Betty's going to be upset at Kevin because he was, I don't think that's what he thought.
Right, yeah. But
it seems to all be working out for him.
It is.
How lucky could he be?
I will say this. And I'm not a Kyle fan. I'm just not. I like dynamic characters, and I don't see. And it's only week two, so maybe that'll happen, and that'll change. And every season I like one person beginning, and I don't know, and I don't at the end, but it changes. But I will say this: at this point, I'm giving less credit to Kyle, and looking at everybody else, how dumb are you? It's less of him being so smart, and more of everyone else being really dumb.
That's just how I'm
at it.
I agree.
So we're also introduced to another alliance, the Man's Down Alliance, between four ladies. We have Betty, we have Helena, Tanisha, and Summer. And again, Tanisha and Summer smack down in the middle of this alliance. What do y'all think?
I think Tanisha and Summer could use Helena and Betty to take a shot at the Savage Seven. I think if they play their cards right, they can leak out the right information to them to take a shot at the guys. I do think that Tanisha and Summer are going to be more loyal to those two girls than the Savage Seven. But I also think that if they were able to maybe throw themselves under the radar just a little bit longer, and if one of them wins HOH, leak everything out to them and then throw them and then throw their asses on the block. That would be smart, in my opinion.
Yeah, so... there's a lot of different variables to Big Brother, right? So social game is great, and being strategic is great. But to enforce your moves, you have to win competitions. And to me, those four ladies, and this is said in the best way possible, are not the strongest four ladies in the house that are going to have the chance to really take shots. I would include maybe a Stephanie. Bring Stephanie in. Bring Stephanie and JC. Make the whole house full of ladies get an alliance. I know it never works, but there's no strength there. I don't think Helena is that smart. I don't think she's going to win very much. I don't. I'm sorry. I just don't get it from her. So you need to include people in competition in your alliances that are going to be able to win those competitions to take the shots at the boys. So as much as I like those four ladies and I want them to do well, it'll be interesting to see if they can pull out a win, or else they're going to get picked off by these boys. That's just what's going to happen.
And an ironic thing that you said that, there were even talks about JC Lynn and Stephanie to be like a part of this all-girl alliance. Here's one issue, though. You have one person in the house that's preventing that from happening, and that is Gino.
Yeah, for sure.
Summer, JC Lynn, and Stephanie all want Gino all to themselves.
Right.
Which means, as long as Gino's in the house, that girls' alliance is not happening. Unless Gino gets out of the house, okay, then we can see a girls' alliance. But those three, they're going to fight for Gino's attention no matter what. Even though JC Lynn basically claimed Gino already, I still do not see a girls' alliance forming unless Gino gets cut.
Now, how do you think that plays out? Is there going to be jealousy between JC and Stephanie since they both essentially wanted the same guy? I think that's a little interesting, no?
It doesn't look that way.
It doesn't.
They're still friends, and I think they both have said it, and I think, they kind of were like, okay, whichever one that gets it. I find it really strange, folks, how it's like – they were fawning over him and I don't know. I felt like we're not in 2022 and we're in some other parallel universe. I couldn't imagine that. On what you said about Helena, I agree with Kevin. I think Helena might be playing a little bit dumb, a little bit ditzy, a little bit out of the loop, and might know a lot more than what she's showing.
Then I need her to say that. I need her to say that in a confessional in the diary room. Because I'm not buying it. I'm not buying what you guys are trying to sell right now. Okay. I feel like, and the comparison for her to Paris, way off in my
opinion. Paris was a strategic genius. I don't see strategic genius. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of disagree because it's again, not to point off on the live feeds again. But I do think that Helena is playing a little bit dumb for the competition or for the TV. The live feeds show a completely different side of her where she's actually doing actually leaking a lot of stuff. So I don't want to go into details yet, but I do say that Helena is actually playing a smarter game than we're making her out for what her edit is showing. Right. I hope they get to show more in the viewer episodes on Go On It, but like we'll see about it.
And according to our live feeds lover, Kevin, saying that Stephanie has moved on.
She just better stay away from Marty. Stay away.
Maybe it's time for some Herman time for Stephanie.
Herman.
We love sloppy seconds.
I think Herman is more into summer than Steph, I think.
Oh. So we then leave the strategy world. And we go to some of my favorite parts of any Big Brother. We go to the emotions. And we see a smudging ceremony in the backyard where Jay is trying to bring in his indigenous heritage and sharing it with everybody. And you know, I found this extremely touching. I've done a few smudging ceremonies myself, and they're always really heartfelt. They're really emotional. They make me feel very connected to the earth in some way. And you saw everybody completely and totally embracing it and getting in there. You even see Marty, who seems a little bit, not uncomfortable about it, but a little bit out of place, asking, what do I do now? How do I, right? And it was so cool. It was so cool.
Right. I think, like, with this scene, like, I've never been a part of the staging ceremony, but, like, when I was at Mohawk, I actually filmed one for a school project. When we had to like cover like a news story, one of the news stories was like talking about like, you know, a former woman, I forget her name, but she was hosting a staging ceremony for all the indigenous women. So it was a very interesting process to look at. I was never really like a part of it, but it was definitely nice to have on camera to see like exactly how the process worked. It was definitely quite a learning curve. I have never experienced something like that before. Like, I think it's actually pretty touching for them to revisit that and something maybe to look, maybe do like a little more research on staging and maybe focus more on the little spiritual aspect. I'm open-minded. Like, I'm curious to see new things about it.
Yeah. As someone who is not aware of any of that, you know, being, you know, from the shitty place of America, I felt like it was a real genuine moment. And this is what I love about Big Brother Canada. That moment and the moment with Summer in the mirrors, like that's relatable. People can relate to those kind of things. And it's such a bot, again, talking about the experience. As much as it's a game and it's cutthroat, you're there and you're building these bonds with these people. And that's just going to bring them a lot closer. And those are the moments that I love. I love when we take a break from the strategy and we see people's true, authentic feelings of who they would be on the outside and who I would want to hang out with and who would I want to really root for. And that's what I think Big Brother Canada does best.
I agree with this.
Loved it. It was so beautiful. And then we go to DeLucas's wife, if he liked women, Aika Wong. Oh. Aika Wong invited into this house, in the HOH room, getting a tour of the house before the season airs. And, you know, there she is. She's all dolled up. Looks like she's doing some work for ET Canada or something like that, answering questions, looking around. And then she's told, you know, you can now leave the HOH room and go down the stairs. And what does she see there? Candlelight, rose petals. And then who walks in? Demetrius. 5 years together. And that's 5 years ago in the BB Canada house. And he asks her to marry her. And what does she say? Of course. Of course. Who wouldn't?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. A moment.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was touching. I was definitely a huge fan of their showmance on the show, and like I was even following their relationship on their separate YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And you could tell their relationship, like, it's gotten stronger over the years. I was not surprised that they were that Dimitri was gonna propose, and what a better way to do it inside the BB Can house. How they met originally and how they're gonna get married in the BB Can house, that is definitely one of the most touching moments I have seen. It's definitely one of the more better engagements compared to the Natalie, Victor, and BBUS. Mm-hmm. Jeff and Jordan, debatable. The Brendan and Rachel one, that one was kind of forced, but this one felt like there was actually, like it felt like something that it carried with me and as well as the rest of the Canadians, because we have never experienced something like that on Canadian television before. So it's definitely a unique,
You don't think she knew, right? I don't think she did.
I don't think she knew. I don't think she did. I really don't think. Maybe when she walked out the door and she saw the roses, maybe across her mind.
But in the beginning, no idea.
I don't think she had any
idea. I think when she walked into the house, she probably didn't know. But when she sees the candlelights and everything else, that's when she was like, okay, I see
what this is about. You know, as much as I love touching moments, I'm not a romantic. It's just not in me. I cringe at stuff like that. But because it was Aika Wong, I was in tears. She is like my favorite, like I said earlier, favorite reality star ever. And to see that moment and to see her like so happy, so genuinely happy, knowing she's a bad bitch and she throws it down at home. I know that. I was really, really happy and touched for them. And you know, to see Canada's first Big Brother love story and it be Aika Wong, the legend, it was so fitting.
Isn't Kevin and Pili together?
Kevin, who?
They don't hold a candle to Aika Wong.
Oh, I'm not saying that, but I think they're together. Maybe William comes over for a threesome every once in a while. I don't know. Anything could happen. So we had a lot of this really touching, loving, romantic stuff that DeLuca might not love unless it was Aika Wong. Yeah. And then we go down to the vote. By a vote of 10-2, Jay was voted out. Interestingly enough, the two votes for Betty came from Kyle and Herman. What were they thinking?
Okay, I think this was a way to distract the house. I think both of them threw their votes away just to cause chaos. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. Like, if the majority of the house was already voting a certain way, and then I think Kyle voted Betty on purpose, but I think Herman did it as part of strategy just so that maybe just to cause a little bit of a mess with the rest of the house, because then the house could have been like, oh, well, Jess and Kevin probably did it. Or maybe...
I think Jess and Josh.
Yeah. So it really depends on, like, you know, just imagine if Jess and Josh actually voted for Betty, it could have been four votes. Mm-hmm. Or hell, they could have roped in Kevin, and then that could have changed the dynamic a little bit. It could have been so close. So that was kind of a smart play for Herman. For Kyle, I think it was maybe slightly personal, but also slightly disturbed the house.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm viewing it wrong, but that's how I see it right now.
No, I totally agree. This is a page out of my book. This is what I love to do, is like cause that paranoia and pin it on other people. Nobody's going to think Kyle's going in there and voting that way. Nobody's going to think Herman's going in there voting that way, because they're with Marty 100%. So of course you want to distract and throw it out there. And who's the closest to Jay? You got Josh. And you got Jess. So I think these next coming, that's going to come back to really bite them in the ass, even though they're not lying. It's going to fall on them, especially Josh. I for sure think everyone in the house thinks that Josh was one of those votes because they were so close. And I would think the same way. So I think it's smart on Kyle, as much as I hate to say that. It was a smart move on Kyle, just keeping him shadowed. And he is playing a decent game for not doing too much. But again, we're at week two. This is when you don't do too much. You do subtle, you know, little things that are just going to resume build and also set you up later on. So, you know, as much as I don't like him, he is playing a good game.
I completely agree with you, DeLucas. Great move by both of them. I don't know. They must feel like they have a really good control of what's going on in the game, because I probably would have been terrified to be two votes. I might flip it to the majority and have Jay stay and Betty go home. So to me, their ability to say, you know what, we're going to throw these two votes Josh and Jess look like they're at the bottom, and they didn't do what the whole house did. Smart. Yeah. But they really must feel, and they must actually in reality, have a really good view on what's going on in all relationships in the house. Because if not, they could have given them two extra votes just for shits and giggles, and the wrong person went home.
Yeah.
That's what I said, yeah. And, the fact that, they were so confident that they had the votes. They literally throw their votes on Benny just to cause a little paranoia. Just imagine, like, and I agree with both of you, like, if Jay would have gotten four votes, and then at that point, all the attention would have also been on Kyle and Herman if they pinned the cards right. Or it could have been on Moose.
Right. Well, one thing I hate about Big Brother is it's always predictable going into eviction night of who's going to go home based on what they're wearing, right? Like if they're everybody's in workout gear and one person's dressed up, you kind of know that they've been told that they're going to be going home. So when there's 12 votes, throwing two votes is not as scary as you think, right? Because it's going to take five more people flipping to ultimately do what you don't want to happen, right? It's like reverse psychology. So throwing two votes at this point in the game is not bad. It causes a little stir. It you know, makes people talk. Now people are going to be behind closed doors, paranoid. Where did those votes come? Especially Betty. Betty's going to want to know, right? Who voted her out? So at this point in the game, it's not. But I get it. If you're like, there's seven voters, two votes is freaking scary, man. And you don't want to play with that fire. For
and
sure.
Another thing to point out real quick is that, like, I think Betty could figure out that Kyle voted for her. I think Betty could figure that out because, like, yes, like, her read on Kevin was wrong on, like, the fact that, like, you know, Kevin went up to Marty, flipped the nomination, and then she went up. But I think she could potentially figure out that Kyle voted for her. I don't think it was Herman that, like, that voted for her. I do think she could figure out it was Kyle. I think she might get the second person wrong.
I don't think so.
No. I don't know either. I think you're giving a little too much credit to Betty in truth. Yeah. I'm not certain. And the truth is all like that, the Herman and Kyle vote, it's all about creating doubt. I don't think it actually matters who anybody thinks. It's all about doubt. It's all about stirring up the pot.
Well, it does matter what everybody thinks because now, again, you have Betty like confused. Where did those two votes come from? You know, and nobody's going to fess up to it. So she's going to be on a mission to try to figure it out. But then in that same token, now you're shooting yourself in the foot. You should just let it go. I stayed. That's all that matters. Keep it in the back of my mind. Keep my ears open and try to figure it out. But I'm not going to be running around. Did you vote for me? Did you vote for me? Did you vote for me? Because no one's going to admit it. And now you're just going to look paranoid and you're going to do yourself a disservice.
Something tells me Betty is going to do exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
Because I think she's going to do that.
I 100% agree. And it's not going to look good for her.
No.
Awkward. Yeah. And then in true Jay fashion, runs up the stairs, does a handstand, and walks on out upside down.
Classy.
Classic. Jay.
Yeah, had high hopes for them.
And I lost a pick.
Ouch. And you lost a pick.
And hopefully you'll lose another one in Kyle soon.
Oh, let's hope not.
What do you all think about Jay leaving?
Sad about it.
Why?
It's predictable. Sorry, Lucas. Do you want to go first?
Yes, from a game standpoint, predictable for sure. But I think from a representation standpoint, I think it was important to have them on a season like this, you know, where the world is and like showing people that it's okay to be who you are. And I enjoyed them. I really did. That's a kind of person that I want to hang out with in real life. Life of the party brings the looks. Like we're going to, this season is going to be missing a little something now that they're gone for sure.
I agree. Like, I think from the entertainment standpoint, we are missing quite a bit, but I don't think from gameplay wise, I don't think we're missing much.
Yeah.
Jay immediately self-imploded when they hit the block, throwing out way too many names, screwed themselves, lots of stuff that probably wasn't showing on the live feeds that probably detrimented to their games. But Jay was literally toast when Betty touched the block. They were literally toast. Right. There were no way they were going to get themselves out of that hole. And the more that they try, they just kept going deeper and deeper up to a point that they could have got a unanimous vote out of here. That's why Kyle and Herman were so confident in throwing in two hickey votes just to cause paranoia because they knew Jay would have been unanimously going.
I will say I was a little disappointed in Jay's gameplay. I expected a lot more. I thought that my prediction was that that they wouldn't just be all show and fun and outfits. I thought there would be a lot more deception and deep strategy, and it didn't really happen. Although it was hard against Betty. How do you maneuver that? It's quite difficult unless you really paint some huge target on Betty, which is kind of impossible based on who Betty is as a player.
I think they definitely had that strategy. I think it's in them. I for sure do. I don't think we had an opportunity to really see it. And I think they did themselves a huge disservice. Like, you don't start campaigning before you know who you're up against. Because guess what? If that didn't happen, Kevin still could have hit the block. But there was already word and rumblings going around that the vote was kind of flipping if it was against Kevin. And Marty did somewhat the right thing by changing the trajectory and taking a vote away and not giving Jay what they wanted. So you got to keep it quiet. Like, yeah, you want to continue to build those relationships and say, hey, I really hope that you'll consider, but you can't plot against what you don't know what's going to happen. Because
I agree.
And it gets out and your plan is ruined.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jay spilled a little too much before even the veto ceremony. Right. I was like, we haven't even hit veto yet, and you're already throwing out way too many names.
Right.
That's a huge detriment to your game. Mm-hmm. I was a little disappointed in Jay, but at the same time, I was like, they deserve to go home after that.
Yeah.
But I do agree with the representation standpoint of like, hey, you know what? Someone like a character like Jay deserves to be on the show longer. I think later on that when you're going into casting process, someone like Jay needs to be on a cast of EDKN just to show for more representation. But yeah, other than that, from a gameplay standpoint, they absolutely deserve to go home with the detriment that they have.
And then we head on over to that HOH competition. Another one I loved. House guests, I'll jump on that luge. It's the Winter Olympics all over again. Person who gets to 24, I believe.
24
without going over, wins HOH. It was actually quite close. A lot of people, 20, 21, 22, 23. And the winner, DeLucas's favorite player, HOH for this week, Kyle Moore.
Boo.
Well, all I can say is Betty Packer stuff. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say too much, but like, all I can say is expect a little bit of chaos, because I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem this week, but I could definitely see a big move happening with Kyle.
So I have a love and hate relationship with this result. I love it in a way that I'm going to see more of Kyle because, like I said, I'm still skeptical of what's really there. What have you really done? Are you that influential, or is it that everybody else is dumb? So I'm excited to see his thought process, what his plans are for long term. I think we'll get more of that this week. Yeah. But I really wanted Josh to win because I really felt like Josh would have shaken the shit up a little bit and done something that's not going to be a Betty, that's going to be predictable. So, you know, I'm torn on how I feel about it, but I think I'll get more insight into why Josh loves Kyle.
I just don't understand why he needs to win.
I don't think he even needs to win in the first place. He is in such a good position. He doesn't even need to win. Like, I bet if he puts up the wrong noms, his cards are going to get shown. I'm worried for Kyle for that.
But do we know what Josh would have done? We don't know what Josh would have done. And that's the person he was competing against. So in his mind, I'm not really close with Josh. Do I trust Josh to make a decision that's not going to affect my game? So in that, you know, when there's an order of the competitions where you go after somebody, if somebody's up there that's in the lead that you don't know what they're doing, you might not have gone into the competition thinking you need to win. But at that point, you might need to win to protect yourself and the people around you.
Right.
I agree. I think we're in for a hell of a week, especially since Canada will also be voting for another person to be the Bel Air Direct house guest that receives safety. So one other person, Canada, will be giving safety, which means Kyle Moore will not be able to put that person up. We don't know who it is, but we are certainly going to find out and recap it on our next episode for the Fans Entertainment on Tuesday. DeLucas, anything to plug before we call it a day?
Yeah, so we're coming up on live reality game season. It's March, so we're going to start getting into it. I implore all of you that are watching to try to get into it. If you love reality TV, this is your opportunity to A, watch a lot of us play, and B, maybe throw your hat in the ring. I'm representing Mayhem Manor with this shirt. I played 2 seasons. It's great. I'm going to be supporting surviving Real Foot. So, you know, not only do we dish, but we put our money where our mouth is, and we actually get out there and do it. So I encourage everyone, if you're a fan, to reach out to me or anybody else in the community, and we can get you connected with the right people. And let's, you know, don't be sitting behind a screen. Put your name where, you know, put your name out there.
Awesome. Josh.
Yes. Yeah, so again, Pandemic Season 6 is getting closer and closer to the deadline. End of March, early April. First few episodes should be coming up very soon. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, you can follow us at Survivor Pandemic. That is the YouTube tagline. You may feel free to follow and look back all of your past seasons from Seasons 1 to 5, and then Season 6 will be dropping in, as well as Season 7 All-Stars. All your past favorites from 1 to 6 are going to be coming back when they play the game on May 27th.
Go Kylie.
And we have a fan right here that's already watching. So let's. So the question is Kylie going to be on the cast? Is Sheldon going to be on the cast? Is any one of your past favorites going to be on the cast?
Am I going to be on the next cast? You never know.
Right? Oh, that's true.
We'll have to wait and see. Thanks, Josh. So follow us Instagram and Twitter at For The Fans E. Always a pleasure to spend time with you, Josh. DeLucas, please come back. It was so much fun talking this fun, fun, fun game with you. We'd love to have you back.
We love having you, bud.
Anytime, guys. I eat, breathe, and sleep this shit. So whatever you like to call comes.
I'm in for that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for watching. We will see you all Tuesday, 8 p.m. We're going to talk about who is Kyle Moore going to put up. I've got a few ideas. Do you?
See you. I got a few.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.